Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I have always preferred stories that have happy endings. I remember even as a little boy, this is what made me so love and appreciate Easter, because Jesus' resurrection from the dead made for a very happy ending. After his bitter sufferings and death, after the cruel and mean things said and done to Jesus on Good Friday, a very good thing happened. Jesus came back to life from the dead. I have to say, back then, Easter always made me happy, but it made me happy for Jesus. For not only did Jesus triumph over evil in the grave, but he was fully vindicated on Easter morning. And every Easter, I remember, I was happy for Jesus. Like when you're happy for a friend when something really great happens to them. I found myself thinking every Easter, good for you, Jesus. You really showed them when you rose from the dead. The trouble with my understanding of Easter was that I didn't progress any further in my thinking than good for you, Jesus, for I did not see that his resurrection was also very good for me. I attribute this, probably this lack of concern about me, to my lack of concern as a child about death. Kids don't think much about the inevitability of death. As a child, death feels like something so far off that you're not concerned about it. The entire subject of death seems surreal to a child even before he knows what that means. Perhaps this is what kept me from making the vital connection between the day of Christ's resurrection and the promise of my own resurrection. For all I understood as a young child was that something good happened to Jesus on Easter morning. But I did not yet grasp by faith Easter's profound benefit to me. It was later that I came to understand this. To understand that just as Jesus had died for me, he has also triumphed over the grave for me. Jesus overcame the powers of death and hell single-handedly. However, he did not defeat death, hell, and Satan for himself. He did it for you, and he did it for me. By his resurrection, our Lord Jesus crushed our sworn enemy, that old sly serpent, the devil, underfoot. Christ swallowed up death for us forever, so that you and I now share in these victories that belong to him, because we also belong to him. As those who believe in Jesus as their God and Savior, and as those who are baptized into his saving name, when death comes, I want you to know that you can look it square in the eye, and you can say, where is your victory, death? Grave, where is your sting? For Jesus has forever removed the part from death that frightens and terrifies and stings. He did this when he died to pay for our sins. Death can no longer bully us. It can no longer hold us as captives to our fears, since death is no longer a punishment for sins for that person who has faith in the risen Christ. Now that Jesus is risen triumphant over the grave, you and I can now mock death like those bystanders mocked Jesus while he hung on the cross. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul's resurrection chapter, Paul says this: Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by one man, Adam, death came, so by a man, Jesus, life and resurrection has come in his name. And furthermore, the Spirit pens these words of Paul: For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Did you hear that? That verse refutes everything I believed as a child. For Easter isn't something that just happened to Jesus, but God has determined that all who trust in Jesus shall also be made alive. Resurrection then is not limited to Jesus, but Easter is the proof. It is the promise of resurrection and eternal life, so that his resurrection blesses and benefits us all. It's for this very reason that Christ is referred to as the first fruits, because he is now the first ever among the many who will come forth from the ground like a seed when it germinates. St. Paul explains, in order to have a harvest of resurrection, however, the body first needs planted, buried in the heart of the earth until, like a plant, it springs forth as a living thing. And so the apostle is saying to us, if you thought Easter was amazing, you haven't seen anything yet. Just wait and just watch, for his resurrection is going to be responsible for a myriad of resurrections. For the day will come in the blink of an eye that our resurrected Lord is going to use his resurrection power to resurrect all believers who have ever inhabited this earth throughout all of human history. It's noteworthy that among the crops that were raised by Israel, their first fruits, that is, their best and first crops, were given as an offering to God, just as Jesus gave himself as a first fruits offering to God upon the cross. For Jesus represented the first and the best among all who would be raised up after him. When the first fruits of the field bloom, when they grow, when they ripen, they serve as a sign that the rest of the harvest is soon going to follow. The fruit to follow, however, will also be luscious and ripe and sweet. And so on Easter, our Lord says that in the resurrections, he was the first fruits. For his resurrection from the dead is that evidence, that first assurance that our resurrections are surely going to follow, each as sweet as his own. The Apostle Paul says that in order to have these things happen, Christ is the first fruit, that at his coming, those who belong to Christ will be raised from the dead with new and glorious bodies to live forever with him in his kingdom. In the present world order, our lives are finite. Our lives are good, but they are limited. They are mortal life that has a beginning and an unfortunate end. The present order is like this: we are born, we grow, we age, and then we die. so that no matter how good our life is in this life, death will still take it from us. We live for a while, and then we die. But my friends in Christ, on Easter morning, our Lord completely inverted this. He turned everything on its head, for the resurrection allows us to go in the other direction, to return from death to eternal life. Because of his resurrection power, we look forward to a life that is never ending. Now, if you're like me, we sometimes wish that we did not have to experience physical death. And that's understandable. Death is an unnatural thing, despite what the world tells us. It's a frightening event because the body was never meant to be severed from the soul. But the sad fact is that flesh and blood bodies such as ours that are corrupted by sin cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Imagine taking off your muddy shoes before walking across a freshly waxed floor. As Christians, you and I do not want to track the filth from sin that still clings to us into heaven. We must first remove this lowly body before we can receive a glorious new body like his. This corrupt body must first be put into the ground. Oh yes, and it will look like a defeat when that happens. But it must happen before God can raise us up in the new and glorious hope that we share in Christ's eternal victory. A dearly departed friend of mine from this congregation, Wilbert Moss, used to bring me vegetables as his way of thanking me for preaching the gospel to him. As soon as those first fruits appeared, grew, and ripened in his garden, Willie would rush over to my house. He would carry sacks of fresh vegetables to my front door. I would invite him in, and we would sit down and talk. And he would often tell me sometimes what a vegetable actually was. Some of them I didn't know, and sometimes how to cook those vegetables. But when he got up and began saying his goodbyes, Willie always let me know that I could have as many vegetables from his garden as we could eat. In fact, I remember his parting words distinctly. Willie said, "If you like those, there's plenty more where that came from." And this, my friends, is what we all need to know on this day of Easter about the resurrection of our Lord that we celebrate this day. If you like the resurrection and eternal life, there is plenty more resurrection and eternal life still to come for you and for me. For Easter isn't only a time that we congratulate Jesus, but Jesus conquered death so that his resurrection would be the first of many that are still to come. For there will be thousands upon thousands of resurrections to follow, including yours, including mine, and including Willie's. Now, I used to do mixed martial arts, and my instructor always taught us that wherever the head goes, the body must follow. And knowing this helps you in your fighting stance. It helps your balance, whether you're attacking or whether you're defending. It's also true of the delivery room. Once the head of a baby crowns and is out, you know the shoulders and the torso are going to follow. For wherever the head is, the body must follow. And so it is with Christ. Christ is our head, and as the church, we are his body. And just like that baby in the birth canal, Christ as our head has already experienced and gone through the resurrection first. By this we should know, as Christ's body and his people, that our resurrection is soon to follow. For since Christ our head is risen, it should not be long now until we as his body rise too. May God grant it to us all for the sake of Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, give you a strong and firm hope in the resurrection. Amen.